Good to see you all. You have a small sample of what it's like to live in Winnipeg, except this goes on for 6 weeks at a time. So I just want you to admire what a tough human being I am. Like, I'm not there now, though, or am I? So not so tough. Anyway, I just want to talk to you about welcome to anybody who's visiting with us today. Delighted to have us all together. Let's pray first. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I just want to talk to you about the first reading that we heard from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And I want us to think about these words from Ecclesiastes, first of all. Maybe they're familiar to you, which the words are, God has made us simple, but we have devised many schemes. You know, recognize those words? Pretty helpful, I think. Anyway, I've been watching this. I hesitate to mention the TV shows that I've been watching. But anyway, because they're just normally full of a lot of shooting and stuff like that. But anyway, I've been watching this TV show called Better Call Saul. I don't know if has anybody seen that or not. Yeah, there's a lot of shooting that goes on in that. But anyway, the reason I'm watching it is because would you say it's like a Shakespearean tragedy in a way, in that it has it's got somebody with we all have fatal flaws in us, right? Flaws in our character. And it's the working out of this particular person's fatal flaw in his character. And his fatal flaw, we'll get the other TV critics' reviews of this later, whether I've got it right. But I think his particular fatal flaws, it really are two things. One is, he is an older brother who is highly successful lawyer. He'd be like a Queen's Counsel if it was in Canada. He's the younger guy. He's not so successful. He's not so smart. He doesn't have any confidence in himself. And he really doesn't have any confidence in the world works. So he thinks what he needs to do is to scheme. He is a schemer and starts off small, but it gets worse. And one thing leads to another. Haven't seen series six yet. Not sure how it's going to turn out. No, well, so far. The reason I think of this is that King Ahaz, we just heard a small part of the story here today, so it really doesn't make a lot of sense to us. But King Ahaz, who is the king of Judah, which is the southern kingdom, is a schemer. And the reason I say he's a schemer is because he's in a very difficult situation where he figures he needs to kind of plan some elaborate way out. The situation is this. He's in the southern kingdom of Judah, and the Assyrians are on the way. If you know anything about ancient history, you'll know this. The Assyrians are these highly cultured people. In fact, a lot of what we know about ancient Near Eastern literature is found because we've uncovered the libraries of the Assyrians. They're very, very sophisticated people, very intelligent, and brutal psychopaths at the same time. So it was interesting this week. I was reading a little bit about it's very obscure. The history of Georgia, and that is the Republic of Georgia's poetry. I don't know how I ended up reading that, but as part of it, I read, and Joseph Stalin was one of these early poets involved in Georgian poetry back before the First World War. He's a poet, he's a philosopher, even studied a bit of theology, and was very interested in literature and in the arts. And occasionally, even if somebody did something which is a little incorrect politically, if he thought they were a really good writer or theater director, artist, he'd say, this guy's okay. You know, he's so good, we're just going to keep him around for a while, at least anyway. So when you think of the Assyrians, I guess the equivalent might be, think of Stalin. You know, highly sophisticated, highly intelligent, psychopath. And so the Assyrian Empire is on the way. So Ahaz, who's the king of Judah, is being approached by the king of the northern kingdom. These are the two kings that refers to, king of the northern kingdom and the king of Syria. And they're going, you know, if the three of us just get together, we can sure take on those Assyrians. And Ahaz goes, you have got to be kidding me. There is no way I'm doing that with you guys. And they're going, oh no, you better do it. In fact, they pressure him and they say, if you don't do it, we're going to invade. We're going to overthrow you. And you know what we do to former kings, don't you? And that's the end of you. So he's in a lot of turmoil. He's afraid. And the people of Jerusalem are afraid. And so the prophet Isaiah comes to him, as we heard today. Isaiah comes to him. And he says to him, be not afraid. God has chosen to protect you. Things will be well. These two kings that you're afraid of are like burnt out torches. They're useless and they have no power. All I want from you, Ahaz, is I want you to, as the song goes, I want you to trust and obey. Trust in me. I have this situation in hand. Be at peace. Isaiah says, in fact, I know it's a difficult time, so feel free even to ask God for a sign to prove that this is true. I don't know if you heard that part or not. Ask for a sign. Ahaz goes, oh, no, no, no. I could never ask God for a sign. What a presumptuous thing to do. That would not be right. Don't ask God for signs. Just trust and obey. Couldn't do it. The thing is, the reason Ahaz will not ask for a sign is because he's cut a deal with the Assyrians. He won't ask for a sign because he doesn't trust God. And he has already schemed himself into what he thinks is going to be an exit with the Assyrians. Let's think about this. Making a deal with Joseph Stalin. Good idea, do you think, or a bad idea? But that's what he's done. He thinks he's clever. And he thinks he's fixed, he's imagined the situation quite well. He schemed himself into a situation where he's going to be just fine. And Isaiah, through God, realizes what Ahaz has done. This is not trust. This is not humility. Oh, I couldn't possibly ask God for a sign. It's not being devout. He is being devious. He's being devious because he doesn't trust himself, because he doesn't trust God, and because he's terrified. And so he's devious. And Isaiah says, well, we're going to give you a sign anyway. And the sign is going to be this. A young woman, the translations are confusing because sometimes it says virgin, sometimes it says young woman. It's probably somewhere in the middle. It's a young woman, no doubt a virgin, who is at marriageable age. He says, a young woman, a virgin, shall give birth to a child. Okay, fair enough. And his name will be Emmanuel. Not a normal name by any means. Emmanuel means God is with us. So Ahaz probably has actually no idea what he's talking about. It's not even clear that Isaiah understands completely what he's talking about, because although this person is named two more times in Isaiah, is never identified with an actual person. But it seems to be something like this, as much as we can make sense of it, or I can make sense of it, something like this. Take everything that you would find in Ahaz. Take the scheming, the distrust of himself, his fearfulness, manipulation, his false piety, and take everything about the Assyrians. They're sophistication, their view of themselves as highly intelligent, their psychopathic tendencies. Take all that stuff, put it together, and you go, and what's completely the opposite of that? Like, what would a person look like who is completely the opposite of that? You think, well, what would they be like? They'd be innocent, right? I don't mean they'd be innocent in the sense that they're foolish. I mean, but they would be innocent. They'd be a person whose heart was whole. They'd be wholehearted, right? They wouldn't be duplicitous. They'd be innocent. They'd be simple in the best sense of the word. Does that mean they would be weak? No, they wouldn't be weak. They'd be strong. But think of somebody who is, you know, or have known, who is wise and strong at the same time. They would be like that. They would be innocent. They would be wise, and they would be strong. And when the other part of it is this name, God is with us. It would be someone that we could look at and say, yeah, that looks a lot like the nature of God himself. So this, it's more of an image. It's more of an image than a person we can say, oh, it was this person, or it was that person. It is God at this point saying to Ahaz, I know who you are. I know your schemes. I know all your tricks. I know your deceptions. But I want to say this to you. I am with you. I am with you. Think of, well, we think of love, right? How do we think of love? We can think of it very sentimentally, or we can think of love as being a strong thing. Love which not only comforts, but also demands, right? So you think of the people who love you. Okay, so people who love you go, Greg, whatever you do, I just think you are fantastic. Whatever you do. My wife is laughing right now, by the way. Whatever you do, because that's how she feels about me. Whatever you do, man, you are so awesome. I am so lucky to be with you 24 hours a day. Yeah. Which is, I'm sure, how she feels, and we'll discuss it later. But well, that's not love, is it? I just keep thinking of this phrase by this woman whose name I can't remember right now, a writer. She goes, God loves us just the way we are and loves us too much to leave us that way, right? So God's love is a love which is not sentimental. It is strong, and it is transforming. So through Isaiah and through this image of Emmanuel, God is saying to Isaiah, I am with you. I am with you in your schemes. I am with you when you're not scheming. I am with you when you are trying to hide. It's like playing hide and go seek with a child. I'm with you when you hide, and I am with you when you're honest with me and when your heart is open to me. I am with you when my love feels like a joyful explosion. I am with you when my love feels like a burning fire. But I am with you. No getting rid of me. I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. And of course, where does this come to fulfillment? Of someone who is simple, wise, innocent, strong, whose love is transforming, feels like ecstasy, and feels like a burning fire. When did that person show up? One a week, right? Jesus, that describes Jesus. That's Emmanuel. So as we look forward to the birth of God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, we can ask ourselves some questions. First of all, we can remember that God has made us simple, right? He's made us simple. But we have devised many schemes. True. Both of these things are true. We can remember that in Jesus, he is the perfect combination of wisdom and strength. And that is his desire for us, that perfect combination of wisdom and strength. We can maybe think about some of the ways in which we have been a little bit like Saul Goodman ourselves, right? You ever felt like you've devised your own schemes without checking with God, and maybe they didn't turn out so well? No, just me. Okay, all right. Did you ever feel like you went down a rabbit holes of your own design, and then, you know, after you'd been doing it for a long time, you go, should have prayed first on that one, right? We do have. God did make us innocent, but we have created many schemes. But in the midst of all that, Jesus has come to us and said, I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. Nothing could ever make me abandon you. I love you the way you are, and I love you too much to leave you that way as well. So let's just think about this as Christmas approaches. It is about the birth of the Messiah, but it's about his tremendous commitment to be with us. Let's pray. Lord, you look deep within us and you know us. You love what you see, and you transform what you love. We thank this in your holy name. Amen.